Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Ephesians 5:15 says, "See then that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." We are living in the last of the last days. The church age is coming to a close. Today we are examining the evidence of the times we are living in and the encouragement given in the scriptures to be wise, walk carefully, fully trusting in the Lord. So join in the conversation as we discuss this time of transition. In Ephesians 5:14, it says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And in examining the days in which we are living in, one of the things that we have to be aware of is that we follow in the commands that the Lord has given us as the body of Christ, as the church.
It's perplexing to me in the fact that when the Lord chose to birth the church, then that record is in Acts.
Okay.
That it was to be for a very short time in all of history, and yet he had a very intense purpose in letting the church be born, Sharon. And maybe if we understand a little bit about his heart and his mind and his will for the church, it may call us to accountability and attention on how to redeem the time.
Well, you described to me that the church age is like a parenthesis in time, where God deals with his people differently now during the church age than he did before Jesus bore the cross that gave us resurrected life. And when the church age is over, then God will deal again with his people as he did in the Old Testament with the Israelites.
Well, you know, Sharon, we need to recognize and establish right now that God is not through with Israel. He's not through with the patriarchs and the saints of old. The people who chose to leave their calling still are going to be grafted back in to God's game plan for eternity. And so when we talk about the church being a parenthesis, it's because it's really between two time economies where the Lord is still bringing about his original game plan.
Right.
And that needs to be established today to say that no matter how much chaos we see and perversion and persecution that the nations are being subject to today, God has never dropped a link in his chain of what his eternity pattern is.
Well, we have a lot of people who are making predictions. How do we wade through all the information to know the truth?
And I'm going to say he's given us the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And in this writing of the New Testament, he tells us to have the security of what it means to be justified. That means that we don't have to have no condemnation. What it is to be sanctified, what it is to be set apart for preparation for what he is still preparing for us. And Sharon, we get so caught up in trying to figure things out and wanting to know scientific details. We get hung up in wanting to know the non-essentials and we miss the essentials.
Right.
Maybe because we are curious, and maybe because that's part of where the enemy can deceive us. Do you realize that in the letters that Paul wrote, that he usually set down the principles that he wanted us to apply, and he wanted us to get grounded in those positions. And then in the latter chapters of each letter, he then gave us the conditions of how to live it out. But we fail to just take and be students of the scriptures. I know of a situation right now where a marvelous saint of God has a ladies' Bible study, but she is constantly taking them off into areas where it will not influence how they walk today. It will be great information, but it doesn't take us back to the central message, which is what we say here every week. How's your heart? Is your heart so in love with Jesus Christ that you haven't left your first love? Is your heart so dedicated that when he tells you you're going to go through times of testing, like he did at the church in Smyrna, that he equips them to know how to stand?
Right.
Are we not to expose the unfruitful works of darkness so that we don't allow the world's methods to creep into our body of Christ?
Right.
Do we invite the world in where we are supposed to be having an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ because we want to get them saved?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord right. tells us that we're to come to him for rest and to be refreshed and renewed. But then he tells us to go.
Mm-hmm. To go
but
out.
But the world has put such pressure on the church now that we are having to almost meet in secret. And in some nations, they only can meet in secret.
Mm-hmm.
They can't go out and evangelize because the world has collapsed on top of them.
Right.
So I would say today that we need to recognize that we are in a parenthesis to return back to where the old school lost it. And we are in the process now of losing it again if we don't return.
Okay.
And so the Lord has, through all of the old economy and this economy, he has preserved a light through what we can call the remnant. People who are growing and learning and failing in the process, but their heart has Jesus Christ, the person, as their first love. And they hold on to that. Unfortunately, even a solid church like Ephesus got off base, and we don't know that they ever returned to be solid. But we see where the rest of the exhortations that were given to the church for the purpose being the church, there was constantly warnings. You're doing this well, but you're not doing that well.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a need to repent. And once again, we need to return back to where we have failed to let Jesus Christ be our all in all. Christianity is a person.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a system. It's not a formula.
Right.
It's knowing a person.
Right.
And then knowing that person well enough to be able to recognize that we are complete in him. John 14:20 is one of the most valuable, complete verses in the Bible. Why don't you read that and then let's just speak of that.
At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you.
Those words encompass really the purpose of where we are today. If we know we are grounded in him and all that he is, and he is in us, and he says we are complete in him, we need to understand that word complete means everything that we need for at this particular time is within us. And as we need other things that are in us that don't need to necessarily be applied at this moment, they're still there within us. All of history, all of eternity, if Jesus Christ is in us, then Sharon, so is all of eternity.
Hmm.
How do you break down and put Jesus Christ into chunks?
Right.
He cannot
Christ
be.
Christ is not divided.
You took the words out of my mouth.
Sorry.
So then we have a tendency to not be able to evaluate the words that Jesus Christ is speaking to us. And that's why we have now come to the point of Laodicea. Laodicea had read the letter to Philadelphia when they got their letter. Why were they still not abiding in the Philadelphian church who had nothing against them? The Lord had nothing to say negative of them. He did tell them to hold fast.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened for the church that was holding fast to wind up having the neighboring church saying, oh, we're holding fast. We've got it all. We don't have a need of anything. Mm-hmm. We're rich materialists. So I'm just going to propose a question to you today, Sharon. Did the blessings of the faithfulness of those hearts slowly, slowly have an inroad from the enemy that they were not perceptive in how their soul became satisfied with where they were?
Well, when you put it that way, it sounds like that the blessings of the generation before fell over into the next generation who had it a little easier, and the next generation who had it a little easier, and so on and so forth. And so there was a expectation that all God was there for was the blessings.
So you have just stated another principle that we speak of so often, and that is a lie believed as a truth is going to affect your life as its truth,
even though it's a lie.
And somewhere that principle, I believe, is what bridges the failure from the church at Philadelphia to the church at Laodicea.
So the lie that we believe about who God really is will move us from the blessing of the Philadelphia church to the blindness of the church of Laodicea.
And you know what, Sharon? When the Lord was addressing the disciples, he asked them to pray a prayer that was for that particular time, but it still has tremendous implications for us today. And that is where he told the disciples to pray, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil.
Right.
And many times when we are being blessed, that doesn't really surface, does it, Sharon? We're talking about the glories of what the Lord is doing. We're talking about souls saved, lives surrendered, ministries multiplied, open doors, modern day miracles.
Right.
And in all of that truth and that marvelous entities, do you know what it's so easy to overlook?
The heart.
Via the cross. The cross will never, ever look glorious to us until we have our hearts so fixed in the person of Jesus Christ that we are thinking with an eternal mindset, not just a temporal mindset.
Right.
And when you talk to anyone that is not at that point of growth, the cross is still bloody. It is still humiliating. It is something that the Jews found abhorrent. In fact, that's why they couldn't accept the Messiah. That's one of the reasons why they could not accept Jesus Christ as a Messiah. The Messiah was not going to be belittled to the point of hanging on a cross. That was the most humiliating way that Romanism, who was in control of the government at that time, could think about killing a person.
So their idea of the Messiah's return is that he would reign here on earth at that point.
He was here to set up the kingdom, and that's why on Palm Sunday, they were waving the branches and hailing him as their answer.
Right.
They expected him to set up an earthly kingdom.
Okay.
And Sharon, in some ways today, in this nation, I'm not saying in all nations because it's not true, but in our nation, we are still expecting to just take care of all the problems of the world and issue in an eternal glorious state. We've got solutions. We've got philosophies. We've got our own man-made ways of making things right.
So as Christ's representatives, we see that we're supposed to be setting up a kingdom for Jesus to live in.
And you know what? The only person, Sharon, that can really set up a kingdom is the King.
Good point.
And He has chosen us to be a part of that plan, but it's according to His will, His time, His purpose. And you've started us off in Ephesians 5 today saying, redeem the time.
Right.
But I'm not sure we aren't messing up redeeming the time as much as the Old Testament saints messed up when they didn't redeem the time.
So what is it that we're missing on redeeming the time? Do we not really understand the days in which we live? Are we just so satisfied with the lifestyle that we have that we're just not seeing any truth in where we are? Do we see, you know, evil coming and we're just going to look up and wait for the Lord to come rapture us away?
Well, a good portion of the body of Christ is saying that. And, you know, I would hope He would come before we would finish this broadcast.
Right. But we miss the occupy until I come if we just sit back and look up.
And Sharon, if we really knew Jesus Christ as the King today, His values would be our values. And we would be heavenly minded, but not for some exaltation, but so that we could be effectual servants, destroying the works of the enemy, which has already been done at the cross, but we can be showing the fruit of that. And that's how we are light. And that's what you said when we opened up. We're to be light. We're to be salt.
Well, it seems like that some say, what's the point? All of these things must come to pass before His return. So He has already preordained those things to take place before His coming. So what's the point of the battle? What's the point to go out and work? What's the point to be a warrior?
Sharon, we seem to have in our toolbox certain passages of Scripture that says it all for us. And I think it's time that maybe we read one of those.
Okay.
So we are going to turn to where we go so very often, and that's Philippians 3:10.
Okay.
And I don't think you can repeat the Scripture too often when it's a part of your foundation that allows you to build gold and silver and precious stones that will withstand the fire of accountability when all of the church will reckon face to face with the Lord when we see Him. And that is, first of all, that I may know Him. We're talking about that. We have to know Him as King. We have to know Him as eternal. We have to be waiting on what Paul has taught us. Because God said, I gave my message to Paul that he appointed to be apostle to the Gentiles. Paul has the message we need for right now. And Paul is addressing the church at Philippi with, you better know Him. And that know conveys the word of intimacy and the power of His resurrection. Wow, that's wonderful. That's what we've been talking about, the miracles and everything. So that you will be able to stand during the fellowship of the sufferings.
Right.
We are knowing some of the extreme fellowship of the sufferings where we have been attacked, persecuted, diminished, shut down, denied, accused of things that are out of nothing but lies, so that we might be conformed to His death. Oh, what an end.
Right.
Who wants to be conformed to death? Well, The next verse says, if by any means, and we try to control the if any
the
means. I may attain to the resurrection from the death. Sharon, that's eternal life. The only other option is that I might remain in death and spend eternity in hell.
Right.
So are we willing to persevere so that if any means that the Lord allows, no matter how perplexing, that we may find life out of death? Now, Paul goes on, and he doesn't want them to think that he thinks that he is holier than thou. So in the next verse, he says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. He's bought us, Sharon. We are no longer to be self-serving. He paid a price for us. He owns us. And now he wants to invest in his investment so that it can come to every reason why he created and allowed the church to be born in the first place.
Right.
So then he ends up by saying, brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but the one thing I do. Not the half a dozen things piled on with other things that I've got over here that I'm going to pull out of the closet and try to do. One thing. He's single focused. Forgetting those things which are behind. That's our mess ups. That's where we've failed. That's where somebody else has failed. That's where we have seen loss of liberty. But I keep reaching for those things that are ahead. They're still in the future.
Right.
But in Jesus Christ, he has them all in time eternal, active right now. Oh, and he's in me, and I'm in him. That causes us to probably have to sit down and meditate and contemplate that day after day, day after day. Holy Spirit, you are the guide. You are the educator. You are here for the church to bring us into everything that Jesus Christ has designed.
Right.
So he winds up with this exhortation. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. If you are holding to the one thing that he's told you to, if you are by any means willing to let the Lord form and fashion you as an individual in the body of Christ, if you recognize that there's going to be seasons of suffering, that you learn to trust and not try to fix or eliminate,
right,
so that you can live a resurrected life the way he's called us to live it here. Will there be a greater fullness in expression when we're in heaven? Think this thought throughout from today onward. If we are applying this, we will always be learning the fullness of God throughout eternity. Now, sounds like kind of a good happy ending that has no ending because we're going to go on forever. Now take that same concept, Sharon. And for those who say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do that? And we should be able to sit on the throne with you. And he says, I never knew you. And your destination will not be ruling and reigning with him, but it will be knowing the lake of fire. And if you think the lake of fire was hot when you entered it, think after you've been in it for 10,000 years. And the lake of fire is more destruction, darkness, separation, agony, pain that you will never, ever be able to deliver yourself from throughout eternity. Now, that's probably the soberingest message we have ever said in over 6 years on Sharon Hearts. And that's why we redeem the time, for the days are evil.
Sure gives us a whole new definition of sobering. But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Jenny Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hearts, Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.